Lord, we come to you and we ask that you enlighten us with the word, that you, each one of us here, that you stir up our thoughts, stir up our hearts and minds, and give us your word. It's the bread that came down from heaven. Your word is bread, and it's the bread of life. And we love you, Lord. And we thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
One friend I have in here said to me once, Greg, I think you ought to give a little meat, a little milk with the meat. Oh, wait, he just walked in the door. And, you know, that's very deep. That's a very wise thing, what he said. Because God's Word is made up of milk. And the milk of God's Word is the basics. Like, Jesus will save you. That's the milk of the Word. And He died for you. And you need to be born again to receive eternal life and to enter God's kingdom. That is the milk of the Word. And the milk is important for people that have never heard the gospel before. It's also important for people that are new to the gospel, that are, because frankly, what does a baby do when you feed it meat and doesn't have any teeth? It just chokes and chokes. Well, I've seen people choke on the meat of the Word. Like, I've heard enough of this. Reminds me of a Chris Farley movie where he goes, "Do you want my head to explode?" You know, and it's like, hey, I can't handle all that, but give me something I can understand. And so that's the milk. But then I taught last week, we had a scripture in Hebrews that said, the Apostle Paul said in Hebrews, let's leave the elementary doctrines now and let's go on to perfection. Let's not study the same ones over and over again. Let's now go deeper into the Bible. That's the meat. Because now after you're getting spiritual understanding and growth, you're able to understand meat. And you're able to receive meat. And meat is really what takes you into victory with God. When I say victory, let's say you're an addict. Alcohol, drugs. Victory with God is attaining your sobriety or your being coming clean with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just walking it out. Having a miracle happen. You know, getting free from addiction is a miracle. It's a miracle. It takes a miracle. People aren't strong enough. If you're a Christian and you have an addiction and you don't believe in miracles, then you're sunk. You have to have a miracle. It takes a miracle. And God is big on miracles. That's what God likes to do. God likes to prove Himself to people. He likes to show His love to people. And the truth is if a true miracle doesn't take any work from you, a true miracle, God does it all. You do not have to wrestle this miracle, you know, yourself from God. Your miracle should come as easy as the day you receive Christ. And I said this a few weeks ago in here. The day you receive Christ, did He say, get down, give me 20 push-ups, and then I might save you? No. He said, come unto me and I will save your soul. And He did it for you free and easy. And you cried and you repented and you got right with God and you were a new person. And He saved your heart. He saved your inner man. He saved your human spirit. He regenerated you into His image. When God the Father now looks at us, He sees the image of Jesus Christ on the inside of you. Even when you're out sinning, He looks at you and He looks right through into the middle of you and He sees the image of Jesus. This is, of course, if you were born again or not. If you've never been born again, if you don't ever remember receiving Christ in your heart as your Savior and Lord, then you're not probably born again. And that everybody has to do. Jesus said, you must be born again to see the kingdom of God. And then he also said right after that, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. You can't even get into the kingdom unless you receive Christ and you're born again. Now, I grew up in a denomination where they baptize their infants, and then they never say anything about getting born again. And then they do a confirmation class, and then they say, okay, you're saved, or you're there, you're God's, because you took a confirmation class. And it's like, wait a minute. Men can't dictate the day of your being born again or the day of you coming to Christ. Men can't choose the time. They can't say, this is going to happen to you in seventh grade. That doesn't work. Jesus says, for him who has ears to hear, let him hear. Has anyone ever read that? When Jesus says, for him who has ears to hear, ever let him hear. Have you ever seen anyone without ears? I haven't. Okay, so he obviously did not mean these ears. He meant an inner ear, an ear that has ears of faith, an invisible ear inside of you that where you could pick up the gospel, grab it by faith, and take it for yourself. That's the ears he's talking about. Well, actually, you have to have that to get born again. You get what I mean? You have to have those ears to hear to get born again. They work better after you're born again. You raised a good point. They work better after you're born again, but God actually put in each one of us the ability to have a little bit of faith before we're saved so that we can get saved. That's His grace and His mercy and His love. While we are yet sinners, He first loved us. And He did it all. And when we received Christ, we became... If you have never received Christ, when I'm done, we're going to all say a prayer together. Nobody will get singled out. We'll all say it together to receive Christ. All right? So those of you that already received Him in the past, you're just helping the other ones. Okay? That's how I do it. And... But... When you got saved, if you already got saved, it was an effortless effort on your part. And all you brought to the table was your sin. And God brought all eternity, all His heavenly blessings. He brought everything for you. He brought His Son. He brought the Holy Spirit. He brought a lot to the table, and it's like we stiffed Him with the raw end of the deal because we just gave Him our sin. You know? That's all we brought. It was that.
I was baptized as a brilliant child.
Me too.
Through the years, I always had doubts about what to believe and what not to believe.
Yeah. That's honest. Well, I'm glad you're sitting there listening right now. So anyway, tonight we've been talking now about milk of the Word. And the reason God gives us milk when we're new in Christ, it's kind of like when you've got a baby, you change its diapers. It can't change its own, right? And by the time your baby is 15 years old, you don't want to be changing its diapers, right? But the way a lot of Christians that get saved are, God is still changing their diapers at 15. And He needs them to grow up, and that's why we teach the meat and the milk. And we teach newer Christians the milk. We teach Christians who have been saved a little while the meat of the Word. Because they can chew it, and they need it. So, some of this is the meat, some of it will be milk. If you have it at Romans 10 in your Bible, Romans 10, this is a nice group in here tonight. This is a group in here that loves God. Why are you in here and all of them are out there? You ever think things like that?
Yeah.
I'm nothing without Christ.
Right. That's a good answer.
And
yeah.
And what you said, it's just, that is so true. I was in an environment that I hadn't planned on being in, where no one, they had all walked away from their faith and they wanted to live in the world. And I slowly, they didn't want me to have a Bible on. I slowly stopped reading the Word, and I stopped, and I lost my desire for it. I mean, that I was like a daily thing. I had to, just like I would eat food, I had to do this to feed my spirit. And I want to drink after a period of time. Well, some things happen, some triggers happen, but had I been in the Word, I wouldn't have done that.
Well, the Bible talks about three kinds of people. The Apostle Paul taught this. There's three kinds of people. Now, you need to hear this. In fact, I would write this down if I were you, if you have a pencil and paper. The first kind of person is unsaved, and they are called, Paul calls them the natural man. That means they have not been affected by the gospel yet. They have not been born again. They're called the natural man. I forget where this is found, but I can show this to you in the Bible. The second kind of believer is called the carnal Christian. The second person or category Paul calls the carnal Christian. Carnal means earthly. You can hear the word carnita, carnivorous in there. It means meat, earthly, sinful is what it means. Carnal. There's a famous movie in the 60s called Carnal Knowledge. It was a big sexual innuendo movie. Paul says there's the carnal Christian. Well, people that are addicts, they fall in that category. That means they received Christ at one time, but they have become carnal believers. In other words, they didn't follow Christ after they received Him. But you know what? He doesn't take your salvation away. You're saved even if you're out there drinking. Now, I know there's a few scriptures that confuse people, like, don't ever let it be said that the drunk can enter the kingdom of heaven. Okay, but what I'm trying to tell you is that it's hard for that person to get saved. But if they've already gotten saved, they've already got heaven secured. You understand that? Okay? Yeah, an alcoholic or a drinker or a drug addict, if they already got saved beforehand, heaven is secured for them. Because you got to understand how we're saved. Our inner man is born again into the image of Christ. It's regenerated. It comes alive. It was dead, and it comes alive. And to understand that, you have to understand what happened to Adam and Eve. They were a three-part being, spirit, soul, and body, Adam and Eve. And they said, God said, in the day that you eat of the fruit of that tree, you shall surely die. But then they ate of the fruit, but then He did not get them a casket and bury them in the ground. But they died because God never lies. So what happened is, of their three-part being, their human spirit died, leaving them just a flesh and a body, a soul and a body. You see that? Just leaving them a two-part being. That left them, when their spirit died, they were left a two-part being without a human spirit. Yeah, they fell out of the heavenly relationship with God. God didn't come around anymore and walk with them in the cool of the garden like it says He did before that. So they were now just soul and body. They were all human flesh. That's the way everybody that walks the earth today that has not received Christ is they are just soul and body. They're just human flesh. Okay? And Jesus said to them, you are of your father the devil. In other words, when Adam was born again backwards and lost his human spirit and it died, then what happens is he became an unbeliever, and Jesus told the unbelievers of his day, you're of your father the devil. Man traded in his spiritual father, and he turned in God, and he took Satan as his spiritual father. So now when you get born again, you're turning in Satan, and you're taking God as your spiritual father. That's why it says, Jesus Christ has translated us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. You actually move kingdoms. You move over from Satan's kingdom when you're born again into God's kingdom.
So what does it mean when, I can't recall what it says, you will know them by their fruit? Does that mean you will know the difference between our Christian and what they say next?
Well, it means that a believer who has faith will produce fruit with their faith, okay? But you also have to understand, going back to what I was talking about now, is when you receive Christ, it's kind of like the cocoon, caterpillar in the cocoon that turns into a butterfly. The butterfly can't go back in. He is what he is now. He cannot change himself into a bird or a dog. He is what he is. And he can't become not a butterfly anymore and go backwards. He is what he is. When you receive Christ, you get born again and you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. And it's like you're the butterfly or the frog, the tadpole to the frog. You can't reverse it. Jesus says, I'm not going to let them out of my hand. Jesus says, I know my sheep and no one is going to take them out of my hand. You know what I'm saying? And you might drink yourself to death, but that you just go to heaven if you received Christ. I firmly believe this. I know the Scripture. And I'm an evangelist, a teacher and evangelist. And I get people born again and saved. And I know that God is after their eternal soul, and that's what He wants the most, to be with Him forever and eternity. And therefore, He has great mercy on you after you receive Christ. But it's such a waste if a person is going to receive Christ and then walk in sin and kill themselves. Because the Bible says when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. And when sin comes full fruition, it brings forth death. That's found in James 1. And so back to that list of three things that Paul said. You have a natural man, he has not been born again. You have a carnal Christian, that's someone that got saved and then they took off down the road following Satan, even though their earthly father, their spiritual father is God.
So then they don't really, they can't be good witnesses for Christ.
Right.
And they're not storing up treasure.
Right. Then you have a third category, and this is where we want to be. And Paul calls that the spiritual man. So you have natural man, carnal Christian, spiritual man. And a spiritual man or woman is somebody that lives with God in their life and they serve God. And they're not perfect. They sin, but they don't run from God when they sin. And that's one of the biggest problems I see in this place, is the guys and gals that go sinning, they'll hide from God for 8 months after that. And God's going, no, come to me. You know, bring me that sin and repent of it and get right back on track with me the next day. That's what God wants. When we sin, He wants us to run to Him. You know what? It says in Hebrews that the blood of Jesus Christ speaks from heaven. It speaks from heaven. The blood is cleansing you all the time, 24/7. Did you know that? That the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing you 24/7. You know why He makes you repent and come to Him and say you're sorry? So that you can get it out of your soul and you can live more free. But the blood, you're already getting forgiven. I told everybody in here last week that I purpose to forgive the offenses that are coming against me tomorrow. Well, God's the same way. He knows you're going to repent in a few days. He just gives you the forgiveness now. He knows what we need before we even ask, the Bible says. Also, He's not in time. He lives in eternity. Did you know that all time stops in eternity? And we're the only ones in time? And God, when we get to eternity, time will have stopped. But we're the ones with the clock ticking. So it's tomorrow and yesterday for God right now. So, of course, you're all forgiven. Because you entered eternity when you received Christ. we live, you entered the kingdom of God, and you people go, okay, well, when I die, then I'll go to heaven, I'll be with God. But no, you entered the kingdom of God the day you received Christ. I live in God's kingdom daily, hourly, minute by minute. I'm a son of the kingdom. And I taught this before too, a few weeks ago. We're not children anymore. After a while, we become sons and daughters of God. He doesn't want children forever. He wants them to grow up as sons and daughters. Jesus, the Bible says Jesus was the firstborn of many brethren, which means He's the first begotten Son of God, but He's not the only begotten Son of God. God begets other sons and daughters, and now Jesus has a bunch of little brothers and sisters, and we don't stay little children, we grow up into sons. And now you're talking about know them by their fruit. Because when you grow up as a son of God or a daughter of God, you bear fruit. When you're a son of God, you do not tear down the kingdom. You uphold the kingdom. You lift up the kingdom. You lift up your brothers and sisters. You bless people. You encourage people. You pray for world events. You pray for the peace of Israel and Jerusalem. You pray for the lost and the unsaved. You pray for your own city. You pray for your mayor and your governor and your president. And you pray for the Congress. And it's like, this is the fruitful Christian life, is to have a life of prayer, have a life of loving people. And these are sonship activities that I'm just telling you right now. And you don't, everywhere you go, you're not the problem, you're the solution. That's the way a son of God is. You're not the problem, you're the solution. Did we ever go anywhere in Romans yet?
No.
Romans 10, verse 13. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Stop right there. First of all, please notice that it says, who bring glad tidings of good things. Did you know that the gospel has no downside? What does gospel mean? Right. There's no downside. God is not mad. God is not mad at you. Not one of you. He's not mad at anyone sitting in that TV room that won't come to hear the Word of God. He's not mad at anybody, anywhere. When Jesus came, the verse. Remember the first Christmas when the angels appeared to the shepherds, and they said, they sang a message from God. The angels sang a message from God, and they said, "Peace on earth, goodwill towards men." And God was declaring the end of the war. But that night, because Jesus came to earth, God was saying, the war's over. Man and I have been at war. I've been upset with man. Man has been hiding from me. Man has hated me. We have been at odds with each other because I'm holy and man is sinful. But as of tonight, with Jesus Christ coming to the earth, the war is over. It is now nothing but good news until Christ returns to get His people to go to heaven in the second coming. Until that time, there's no war with God. There is total peace with God. And so, someone said, well, hey Greg, do you think God brought down the Twin Towers to teach Christians a lesson in this country? It's like, well, God's not sending airplanes and missiles. I mean, that'd make Him a killer and a murderer. You know, God, 3,000 people died that day in those towers and in the Pentagon and in in Pennsylvania in these three airplane things. And God wanted all, it says God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. God wanted all those people in heaven, and some of them may have missed heaven. And God would not do that. God has declared peace towards all men. And then the day Christ died, these hands appeared in the temple. There was a veil this thick. It was untearable. But it was torn. And it was torn from the top to the bottom. And God's saying, look, man's not doing this, I'm doing it, and I'm going to tear it from the top, from heaven down. And the veil between man and God was torn by two hands the day Christ died in the temple. And He was again showing us a big sign. I'm not mad at you. I'm declaring heaven now open. Any one of you can come to me anytime like your loving Heavenly Father, and I will bless you, and I will answer your prayers, and I will save you, and I will restore you. And God is not mad. If I could get one thing in your mind tonight, that is, God isn't mad at you. The gospel is nothing but good news, and there's no bad news to it at all. Now, there's preachers out there preaching hellfire and brimstone, and I believe that they are misinformed and they're ignorant. And they think they can get more people in by telling them they're going to hell. And there's a scripture by the Apostle Paul that says, the goodness of God leads men to repentance. It's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. It isn't hellfire and severity and you'll be punished and we'll throw you in hell. That doesn't make men repent. That doesn't make men repent at all. Notice in verse 17 it says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Does anyone notice that's been back to my meetings a lot that I'm repetitive?
Yeah.
That I'm repetitive?
Repetitive.
I repeat myself a lot. You know what?
That's clear.
Yes. Look what it says here. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You need to hear these things that are basic truths over and over and over until someday you're out there preaching and you're repeating them over and over and over because people lose them, remember? To him who has will more be given. To him who has not, even what he has will be taken away. I repeat because some of the guys that come in here and the gals, they lose what I said 3 weeks ago, you know, and I'm giving it back. So it just ingrains in you. And you get faith when you hear it. It says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Okay, let's turn to, how about Hebrews 2? Just go backwards in the Bible towards the end. When you get to Timothy, Titus, yeah, and then Hebrews. Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2. This scripture here actually fits exactly what I've been saying to you already. Listen. Hebrews 2, verse 1. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest they drift away. The old King James says, lest they slip. These things slip from our minds. So, we must give more earnest heed to the things we've heard, lest they drift away, they slip away from us. We have to pay earnest heed to these things. You know what? I get blessed when I teach, you guys. Because when I hear it, it goes back in my heart and refreshes me and builds my faith. Faith comes by hearing, and you can hear yourself and get the faith. That's why it's good to speak the Word all the time. Because the faith, you're cycling around on yourself. I speak it, and I believe it. And I believe it, so I speak it. But I speak it, it makes me believe it. But I believe it, therefore I speak it. But if I speak it, then I believe it more. And exponentially, you start having this dynamo build up inside of you of power. There's a great man of God that he raised 13 people from the dead in his ministry.
Wow.
some of you are going, tilt, that doesn't happen. It does happen. And I believe in the miraculous. This one man raised 13 people from the dead. His name was Smith Wigglesworth. Jesus said, greater things will you do than I have done because I go to be with my Father. Jesus raised 3 people from the dead. Well, to be honest with you, anyone that's ever been raised from the dead, Jesus did it. But what I'm talking about when he was on earth, okay? For 33 years, he raised 3 people from the dead. And here's a guy fulfilling the promise that Jesus gave that you will do greater things than I've done. That's what Jesus said. I know this guy raised 13 people from the dead. His name is Smith Wigglesworth. And this is one of his sayings. He said, I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. His human spirit was so built up in God. And these young ministers came to one day when he got really old. They said, give us the secret of your great faith. And he says, oh, you want the secret of my great faith, huh? And they said, yeah, we want that. And he says, first, he quotes in Mark 4, he says, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. He says, your faith grows by exercising it. But it starts as a little seed, and then a little shoot comes up through the ground, and then you have a corn stalk, then you have ears of corn coming off of the corn stalk, and there's 800 kernels on one corn stalk. So now you have the ability to take the corn, take the kernels off, plant it back, and get hundreds of corn plants. And that's the way Jesus said that in Mark 4. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. He was talking about divine revelation. That's why that man was 1,000 times bigger on the inside than he was on the outside. You see? And that's exciting to me because there's no limit to where your faith can take you. No limit. You can just grow and grow and grow and do greater things and do greater things and do greater things. And this is God, what God wants from us. While we're in Hebrews, let's look at Hebrews 4. Now, do you remember when I said, if you're gonna quit drinking or quit using drugs or quit eating too many Hostess ding dongs or too much ice cream, could I throw that in there? So remember I said it's to walk away from sin and to get a miracle of deliverance is effortless. Do you remember I said that? Where do I get that? How do I know that? Because we don't receive through the law, we receive through the gospel and the grace of the Holy Spirit. And He does all the work. And if you're doing any of the work, you're adding some effort that He doesn't need you to do. And you're just burning yourself out. Now, again, there's another scripture that says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. But that's a different understanding there. And I'm not teaching on that. Let me show you about the effortless part here in Hebrews 4. It says, verse 1, therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as He has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from before the foundation of the world. You know, when God got done making the earth, He said, I'm done. I'm finished. I'm going to rest. You know what? God already did your salvation back then. He already did your deliverance from alcohol back then. It's in your inheritance. It's in your benefits package. All you have to do is step up and claim it. Because He's already done it. It's a finished work. Calvary is the work. Calvary, Jesus Christ, the Bible says Jesus was slain, the Lamb of God was slain from the before the foundation of the world. Remember, there's no time in God. So God took care of all this stuff at the beginning, including all the benefits you needed in your life were given to you at the beginning, before time even started. You know, He says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega.
Yeah,
the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He was before time, and God has your miracle. And He gave it. He already did it. He already delivered you. Just back when Christ was slain, before the beginning of time, He actually already did it. And then He says, now, just as I rested after the 6 days that I made the earth, I expect you to believe me in faith and just rest in my promise. And if you'll rest in my promise, it'll just happen for you by my power, by my Holy Spirit, and you will not put out any effort. You will be resting while you receive it, like I rested. So, look at this. In verse 2 of Hebrews, it says, "The gospel, for indeed the gospel is preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it." In other words, the gospel is good news, but if you don't have faith, it will not produce for you. You have to take the word preached, mix it with your faith. The word is His part. The faith is your part. But faith is effortless. Did you know that faith is to your human soul or your human spirit like breathing is to your body? Or thinking is to your soul? You have, your body breathes naturally without thinking about it. Do you have to set a little thing inside of you, a timer, to make sure you breathe this many times while you're asleep at night? Your mind thinks naturally. Try to stop yourself from thinking. Okay?
That's one of my favorite verses. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding.
Yep, I like that one. Acknowledge Him in all your ways. Well, your human spirit produces faith. And people say, even some teachers say, even God has faith. I believe it. Because God uses faith. He said, the Bible says God calls things that be not as though they are. And that's really, remember I told you one of my mentors says that faith is voice activated? I've taught you that before. Well, God uses voice activation to release His faith. He made the world out of things which do not appear. God believes that things that don't appear should happen to Him and make them appear by releasing it out of His mouth. And that's how He made us, is to create our solutions by saying them out our mouth. Our faith is voice activated. So, but faith comes out of your human spirit, and it's a natural thing to flow. But faith does, it's a cause and effect thing. Faith is an effect, it's not a cause. What's the cause of faith?
Believing.
No. Believing and faith are the same thing. It's cause and effect, and faith is the effect. What's the cause? No. The cause of faith is the promise of God's Word. If you look back at verse 2 again. The Word which they heard, that would be the Word of God, did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. So God does the big thing. He declares it will come to pass. We do the little thing. We say, I believe it. I effortlessly believe it. He causes it. We give the effect. When you mix, it's like nitro and glycerin. When you mix the Word of God in promise form with faith from our hearts, which flows from us naturally, you get your solution. The solution which was already laid out from before the foundation of the world is yours to take. I know I teach abstract. And you know what? The abstractness is meat. It's the meat of the Word. But I perceive that every one of you in here could receive it and understand it tonight. That's why God went that way and said those things through me. You know what? I have to go back and listen to these because I don't really know what I said. I really don't. And I mean, I know some of it. I can see these notes here. But when I start getting into the meat of the Word, it's like the Holy Spirit just runs with it. And it's life. The words are spirit and they are life. And they produce in you. And the Word produces, you know, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold, 100 times. You get to the Word, and the Word keeps rolling over on itself and producing more and more, and to him who has will more be given. So the Word will help you receive more from God tomorrow. And look at Mark 11. Yes.
I have heard much like that. Miracles.
Except your faith. Because whenever someone came to Jesus for a miracle, he always said back to them, your faith has made you whole. That's what he said to them. Your faith has saved you. So, in that sense, all we do is do what's natural for us, while God does what's natural for him. You know? Remember the 10 plagues that Moses did? Well, okay, let me be scripturally correct. God did them through Moses, all right? They weren't Moses only, and they weren't God only. Yep, the 10 plagues. God could not have done those plagues without Moses, and Moses could not have done those plagues without God. And I taught on this a couple months ago, and some of you didn't hear that teaching. But there's a teaching called legal access. God needs legal access on the earth because he's kind of locked out. Because the earth was given over to men, and men gave the earth to Satan. And God now only works through men and women. And he does very little on his own. He's working. If you need a miracle, let's say that maybe you're going to get run down by a car or something. And let's say God wants to prevent that, and you're not focusing, you're not aware. God might have a little old lady over in New York get on her knees, an 80-year-old lady get on her knees and pray for your miracle for that car to miss you. And she doesn't even know you. She just says, Lord, I'm praying for somebody. I don't know who they are, but I'm praying. Help them, Lord, and deliver them. And she's praying. And God delivers you here in this city tonight because she got on her knees over there. And I'm telling you, that's the way God works. He will have, if he wants to do something for you, he will have you pray it. He will have one of your loved ones pray it. Or he'll find someone that doesn't even know you pray it. And that's how the body of Christ is all connected. They're all one with one another. And they're all jointly fit together, supplying every need and every joint. That's in 1 Corinthians 12. And God uses people to bless people. Yep, the Bible says that. And that's mysterious.
And also, that's why it says, pray for somebody else, not yourself.
Yes. And that's why it says in Romans about groanings, praying with groanings, and which you do not know, you do not understand, with groanings which cannot be uttered. And people pray like that. And that's a whole other teaching right there. Let's go to Mark 11. Mark 11. We're almost done, everyone.
That's okay. Go ahead.
Jesus answered and said to them, verse 22, Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Now, to set the stage for this scripture, Jesus saw a fig tree full of leaves, and it was supposed to have some figs on it, and it didn't have a fig. And the Son of God wanted a fig. The miracle-working Son of God wanted a fig. Now, I don't think he went around doing this. I think this lesson needed to be here, right in this part of Scripture. So this is why he did this. He said to the tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." So they walk past it, and no one thinks anything about it. That night, they walk back past it, and they go back to the city they came from, and still nothing had changed on that tree. But the next morning, they come back again. They're going to like the temple area, and this time, it's the third time they're passing the tree, and in 24 hours, the tree is withered away to nothing, like a stump. And his words cursed the fig tree. And he proved and showed that he used his faith to make the tree dissolve and disappear. And the tree will never bear fruit again. It will never grow again. And Peter goes, "Master, look," verse 20. And Peter remembered and said to him, 21, "Rabbi, look, the fig which you cursed has withered away." So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God." Now, this is the way this was translated. Does anyone have a King James? An old King James. Read 22.
"And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God."
Okay. That King James is the source of all this translation here, but if you go read this in Greek, and the King James people didn't, because the world was so large then, you didn't sail across the ocean very easily, there was not a great understanding of these languages by the translators. If you go read this out in Greek, it says, "Have the faith of God." It doesn't say have faith in God. But it works both ways. Have faith in God. But what he really says, have the faith of God. That verifies what I said to you a while ago, that God has faith, and God activates His faith with His voice, and that's why in the creation account, it says in Genesis 1, "And God said, and God said, and God said, let there be light, and God said, let this happen, and God said," and all the way down, God created everything with words, with faith. Jesus said, "For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will come to pass, he will have whatsoever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." Okay, I told you at the beginning that I was going to teach you how to remove blocks to faith. Okay? Now, look at verse 24. "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." When are you supposed to believe them? When are you supposed to believe what you're asking for? No. That's the wrong answer. But thank you for saying that, because that's what people think, is that you have to see something to believe it.
That's not faith.
Right. Okay, so listen to it again, cut carefully. "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." When do you believe it?
When you pray.
When you pray. Okay. You have to believe for what you're asking for when you pray it. And did you know that faith receives it as an already done deal? Like, let's say I get some sniffles and I ask, "God, thank you for healing my body. I believe I receive that." And then I'm done praying and all of a sudden I'm going, "Wait a minute, I believed I received it. I already received it. It's already done. It's already done. I will not..." It's like, wait, Greg, now you're in denial. No, I don't deny it's there. I deny it's right to be there. And when I get acting that kind of militancy of the Word of God, then it's going to happen for me. Everybody see that? Because the Bible says, "The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force." And God wants us to violently take our blessing. Because guess who has our blessing? Satan. and he deserves a little violence. There's this story about the pigs in the parlor. This farmer and a farmer's wife, they have this nice home, they have all these pigs that wallow in the mud out there, and somehow the door got left open and all the pigs came into her parlor, which has beautiful drapes, beautiful carpet, and they rolled around on her carpet, got mud everywhere, and they rubbed on the drapes, they got mud all over the drapes, and the farmer's wife is just livid. And she goes in there, and there's like 8 pigs, okay? And they're great big old things, you know? And she goes, does she say, would you all get out of here, please? No. She says, she yells, get out of here! Get out of my house now! That's how you have to deal with demons and Satan. That the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take the kingdom out of the hands of the enemy by force. If you want to be free, and you might want to not want to do this out in the yard out there. I don't care what you do. If you want to be free, get alone, go out in the field, get in a car, and just say, you spirit of alcohol, get off of me. Leave me now. I rebuke you. I will not put up with you. See, I'm acting like I'm talking to those pigs. You can't be nice to Satan. You really can't be nice to devils. You know what's interesting is when you command devils, did you know that if you're commanding the Word of God in faith, they can't tell if it's you or God talking? That's the teaching of that spiritual armor, you know. Put on your spiritual armor. Take your shield of faith, your helmet of salvation, your breastplate of righteousness, your loins girded with truth, your feet shod with the gospel of peace. And once all that armor's on, when they see you coming, the devil and his followers, they think that God's coming down the road. And I'm telling you, when Jesus walked on the earth in those 33 years, in those 3 years of ministry, devils would not get anywhere within 200 feet of Him. Because He could cast them out and send them to hell. And they wanted to be here on earth. And they still want that. And, you know, we have to quit messing around with spiritual evil. So, get this point here in verse 24, that when you pray, that's the moment you receive it. It's now past tense. You already prayed. It's now past tense. Quit talking about your miracle in future tense, because that's showing you don't really believe that it happened when you prayed. Now, things take time to manifest. You know? When you cut down a tree, a great big redwood tree, and it falls over, and if you look inside at the rings, it might be kind of green and fresh and sap oozing out, and it's got life still in it, okay? But that tree's going to become old seasoned wood. Anyone ever try to burn green wood? Okay, it's going to become old seasoned wood in a couple years, and all the life is going to leave that tree. This is how when you rebuke sickness or addiction or evil, there may still be a little life in it right after you rebuke it, but you laid the axe to the root when you used your words on it, and that life started leaving it then. And if you keep your faith and don't uproot your faith, keep your faith as done, it's a done deal, you will see that thing totally die. Faith is voice activated. You know what? I'm going to stop right there, because I mean, some of you look like your heads are going to explode. You know what? You know what? Huh? Go ahead.
There's a friend of mine that basically was in a bad car accident. He was paralyzed from the waist down. He was in the hospital and had surgery. There was this white dove. Every day around 12 or between 12 and 1, it would just come, stand on the windowsill, but then it would fly away. And the day that he was supposed to be released, he didn't come and see him.
Wow.
He never understood that, because for 56 days, that bird flew and let it on his windowsill.
That's neat.
Story,
I see God doing things like that all the time. I mean, God, I know God does things like that.
Well,
he said on the last day he would be released. He didn't come and see him. What's the news he was leaving? I don't know. I still have to think of that story.
You know what? God's power in this room is very powerful right now. Yes, Ken there brought the power of God in the room with him. But seriously, did you know that the Bible says that Jesus went back to heaven, sat at the right hand of God, and he proceeded to confirm the word with signs and wonders following. And he proceeded to... In other words, Jesus backs the Word of God. Jesus is willing to do things that are preached. He's willing to bless people and do things. Like if we prayed for someone, he's willing to heal. If we prayed over... if we pray over right now over addictions, he's willing to cause them to leave you right now. And did you know that faith is always now? Some of you may be thinking, oh, I like what Greg said. I'm going to have to use it in a few weeks. But you know what? Faith is always right now. Tonight's the night to release from your life things you wanted to be rid of forever. And also... The Apostle Paul said, I didn't come to you with enticing words of men's wisdom, but I came to you with the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. I'm convinced that Paul never taught, but what he didn't also work miracles as a sign to confirm the word that he taught. Sometimes not by plan. One time he's teaching and a kid fell out of a third story window and he hit the ground and he was killed. And Paul and the group went down there to the kid, noticed he wasn't breathing, he was dead, and Paul resurrected him. So maybe he preached too long, you know, and the kid fell asleep on him. And fell backwards out the window. But... but I want to use the power in this room right now. I want God to move in whatever you need. I mean, does anyone here have pain in their body? Where? Where's the pain? You're in pain this second? Okay. Just stand up. Is this pain always with you, or is it just worse tonight?
It's always with
you. Well, Father, touch him. Just touch him right now. Just bless him. Just flow through him by your Spirit now. Flow through him, Holy Spirit. I rebuke the pain. I rework all his organs and his innermost being. In Jesus' name. Here, put your arms at your side. Just at your side. I align his arms and his legs align. Just everything align in him. Holy Spirit, let heat flow through him right now. From the top of his head, flow down. Heat. Holy Spirit, heat. And just we release pain. Leave him right now. Pain, leave him. Pain, leave him. Now. We release him from pain. All pain, go. Rework him, Holy Spirit. Overhaul him. In Jesus' name, I pray.
Did it make me sweat?
Did it make you sweat because you got the heat of the Spirit in you?
I felt heat in my body.
It's making me sweat.
Well, wait. Move around and see if that pain is gone. It's better? Doesn't hurt right now. See, that's the power of God is in the room. Well, let's do this. Let's pray. We'll do two little prayers here. So repeat this after me, because we're going to use the power of the Holy Spirit that's in the room and on each of you right now. The Holy Spirit's on you, all of you, men and women. The Holy Spirit is on all of you. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It's not on me. I mean, He's on me too, but He's on all of us. We're all one in God. So repeat this after me. Lord Jesus, I'm filled with Your Spirit. And I walk in my inheritance. Now, my deliverance was given to me before the foundations of the world. I take it tonight. I refuse drugs, alcohol, addictive substance. In Jesus' name. Lord, I want off of prescription drugs. I want free. And I am free. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And I receive it by faith. Now. One more prayer.
Dear Lord,
come into my heart. I receive Your sacrifice.
Save me.
Deliver me.
Fill me.
I'm living for You. I'm born again. In Jesus' name. Amen.
But not
the ice cream. Hallelujah.
Thank you.